This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
And welcome into the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Podcast Network. My name is Dan McNeil. The dust has settled from the 2024 NFL Draft, and the NFC North appears stacked. Let's talk about the Vikings. Many think they're at the bottom of this very, very tough division. We'll see. Pete Bursich, the former Vikings linebacker and special teams ace, been part of the radio crew for KFan for a number of years, is with me from the Vikings training facility. I thought for sure you'd be on Lake Minnetonka today. I assume they've had ice out there by now.
Yeah, the ice is out, but right now you're stuck till around Mother's Day. That's when the walleye opener is, and really kind of everything else behind it. So they don't allow bed fishing or spawn fishing up here because it's too condensed, and you can fish them out too quickly. So you really have to wait until the end of May to get out there. So yeah, you can do some pan fishing and stuff, but not yet.
The Vikings were aggressive at the draft, Pete. They traded up a couple of times. They move up one slot to the 10 spot to grab their quarterback of the future, J.J. McCarthy of Michigan, and then they slide up also in the first round to get edge rusher Dallas Turner. Two huge needs. Let's start with the quarterback. Where's your excitement level for McCarthy, who's won everywhere he's been?
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of the exciting part, right? I mean, he's as a sophomore in high school, he goes to Nazareth Academy in LaGrange and wins a state title. As a junior at Michigan, wins a national title. And this is something that it's kind of the knee-jerk reaction from Kwesi or from Kevin O'Connell or any of the folks here is they say he's a winner. Very well spoken, very impressive at his press conference. You know, he has an idea of what he wants to do and who he wants to be. And, he's just young, right? He's just young. And fortunately for us, we have Sam Darnold who will probably, you know, he'll be the starter and it'll be up to McCarthy to take his spot at some point, whenever that is. But, we're excited. He's the highest quarterback draft pick we've ever had. Dante Culpepper won in 11. He's the highest, their biggest investment, I guess you could say, we've made in a quarterback in a very, very long time. And let's face it, for this franchise, now's the time, I think, to do it. You have Kevin O'Connell, who was a former NFL quarterback, a quarterback position coach, a coordinator. So you have, I think, a very good framework to help teach this kid and bring him up to speed. We're a very quarterback heavy offense in a quarterback poor league. So for us to have a guy like that taking snaps is more important than I think, most teams.
I saw Mel Kiper give the pick of Dallas Turner a C+, even though he admits Turner was his top edge rusher on the board. But notes the Vikings had a bigger need at corner, which they did address in the fourth round with Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon, pick number 108. Man, one of the best pass rushers you're getting at 17. Are you kidding me? How can that be a C+? And I think it's an upgrade over Danielle Hunter. I really do.
Well, yeah, and we will see. Jonathan Grenard is a good football player. Alex Van Ginkel is a good football player. And then now you're adding Dallas Turner in the mix. And I think for us, having Brian Flores, who's very creative, he's not conventional, does a lot of different things. He's going to be able to get these guys out on the field all at the same time if necessary. But I think the potential of Dallas Turner is what excites everybody, right? The height, the weight, the speed. Obviously, he has the ability not only like a Kayvon Thibodeau to beat you at speed, but he also can show power. And I still believe in this league, guys that can rush with power are the ones that are most consistent, right? Because even if you chip them with the back or whatever, and they're still able to work into the tackle and collapse the pocket, that's still a win because you're taking up two blockers and you're still getting pressure on the quarterback. So, a guy who's got all the tools, and you never know who he could be. So, you know, whatever Kiper thinks, that's fine. I just think that they had an opportunity to get a guy. When's the last time that I think the Vikings had the opportunity to get the number one edge rusher in the draft? It's been a long time. And with the offensive run that occurred, was the first 14 picks, as you get closer to that second pick that we had, you're saying, you know, the pick of the litter at a lot of defensive positions is still there, right? No corners had gone off the board either. By that time. And so the Vikings saw an opportunity, made a couple moves, and got up and got really the pick of the litter for the outside or the edge. I like Jared Verse a ton too. I'm going to keep an eye on him in LA with the Rams, cause I think he's a great football player as well. So, but you're bringing in hopefully an impact player, and you got to have those. You got to have a ton of them. Right.
I know your question was rhetorical, but you asked, when was the last time the Vikings drafted a guy that half who was a rusher?
James? Oh, what was his first name?
I was thinking Chris Dolman, but
no,
maybe,
we had Erasmus James, I think, was the last guy that the Vikings
out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, drafted that highly. But that's a different time. It's a four down lineman scheme, and it was a different world back then. So I think since Erasmus James, it's been that long since we've had the kind of a pick of a litter, so to speak, of a defensive player, defensive lineman.
I didn't remember hearing Chris Dolman passed away 4 years ago. Moment of silence for number 56.
Yeah, he was one of the best. I remember I met him. My first year here, because I got his number in 1994. I got it right after he left. And, you know, now it's great to hear these rookies at the press conference list off all the veterans that texted them and told them congratulations and, you know, can't wait to see you. And I remember the first time I met Dolman, he looked at me and he goes, you know, that number's cursed. I cursed that jersey. And he just walked away. And I'm like, thanks, buddy. You know, different time. You weren't welcomed with open arms. You just came in and tried to freaking survive. But now it's a little more friendly, so to speak, to the new guys.
Pete, we're conditioned to seeing running backs after 3 or 4 years just fall off the map in terms of productivity. The money isn't great. That position really has changed radically, but it's not that way with pass rushers. Where did it go off track for Danielle Hunter? He was tracking toward the Hall of Fame 3 years into his career. Mm-hmm. He was walking with the immortals like Bruce Smith and Reggie White and J.J. Watt. What happened?
I mean, I don't think anything went wrong per se. I mean, he was the fastest to 50 sacks, 50 career sacks, I believe, in the history of the NFL. But he had a couple of injuries along the way. And I know going into last season, 2023, talking to him before the season started, he said, hey, this is the first time that I haven't been rehabbing an injury in the off season, right? I believe he tore a pec. He had a neck issue. He's had a number of things, I think, that have slowed his progress. The bottom line is this, he's 30, but he still has, I think, a lot of tread on the tires. I think he's going to go down and have a fantastic year with Houston. The other big thing with Danielle is he had to transition from being a 4-3 defensive end to being an outside linebacker. And it's a different world standing on two legs. You have to be a lot more physical against the run. And I think he fully embraced that position last year. And we saw his productivity, 16.5 sacks. There was the game against Atlanta. We had an early turnover, and I think two plays in a row, he literally physically destroyed the guy in front of him, saved the touchdown, forced Atlanta to make a field goal. That ended up winning us the game. But that measure of physicality I think you have to look and say, all right, here's a guy in the last year of his contract, and he's looking to get paid one last time, one last big contract before, you know, he's in his mid-30s. And so are you going to get that out of him every single year? Because I think the year prior, he didn't quite embrace that position. He did last year. And I know the Vikings wanted to get him back, but it took him a long time to sign, if you remember. I mean, he had all the top, you know, the top free agents were signing different positions and everything. And it took Danielle Hunter, it took quite some time before he and Houston came to an agreement. So I know the Vikings liked him. They wanted him back. There's no question about that. It's just a matter of when you let a guy get to free agency, just like with Kirk Cousins, you can only control what you offer them. And if they get a better deal somewhere else, then that's life, man. That's the way it is.
Let's talk about Cousins. A four-year deal with the Falcons, and last Thursday night, he gets the telephone call while the team was on the clock, and they inform him, we're taking Michael Penix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a big fan of quarterbacks living the life of entitlement they live, but that's kind of dirty after you sign a deal. That's kind of jarring. How do you think he will respond to this?
Knowing Kirk, he'll be fine. He's a competitor. I think the contract, the amount of money and the length of the contract made him, you know, made him feel good about that the Falcons were, you know, very, very interested in him. I'm kind of in your camp to say, you know, it's his job to lose. And that's really kind of all you can ask for at this stage of the season. Yeah, they paid you at least $100 million, right? You're going to get that. So that means you are going to get your opportunity. And if he plays well for the next two seasons and Atlanta says, well, we want to go to Penix, then Kirk can go somewhere else and break the bank again, so to speak, right? I mean, he's done it before. He can do it again. I understand people wondering if getting a defensive player would have helped that team more, or another weapon for Cousins would have helped more. Obviously Atlanta's planning for the future. So this is one of those moves where you're going to have to let it play out. And in 4 years, kind of look back and say, yeah, it worked or it didn't. I mean, let's face it. Penix might be the starter day one for Atlanta. If for some reason Kirk, you know, doesn't come back, that is a plant foot that he tore his Achilles on. So if for some reason he's not 100% when the season starts, yeah, Michael might start the first couple of weeks of the season for Atlanta. You know, you just never know. But that's really the main thing I think, is that you're assuming you're going to be picking in the 20s and 30s going forward. Maybe, I don't know. Then you wanted to grab that quarterback that you could get for the future. And yeah, he's like you said earlier, his kid will be in junior high by the time he gets to start. So yeah, there's a lot of question marks around it, but I the drama of, you know, no one ever called us up and said, hey, by the way, we're going to draft another guy at your position. You know, it's like, it just is what it is, right? They pick a running back, or they pick another linebacker. It's like, all right, here we go. You know, it's just one more guy in the room that, you know, you have to beat out or be part of. It was like that every single season. So, you know, whatever. I just, like I said, from a franchise standpoint, the opportunity cost of what else they could have brought in to help their current quarterback, you missed out on maybe a playmaker or two.
Pete Bursich from Vikings Radio. Listen to the Vikings Radio broadcast this year when you're tooling around on Sundays on Sirius XM. Paul Allen and Pete really bring it. And I listen to a lot of these NFL crews around the country. There are some good ones and there are some dreadful ones. In the NFC North, Detroit had the 49ers on the ropes in the NFC title game. Dan Campbell kind of screwed the pooch on that one. The previous week, the Packers were beating the Niners soundly, and they missed a couple of kicks, and things don't go their way. This is the best division in football, and I know that may sound a little bit chesty here in late April, but I don't know which division anybody would contend is better than the NFC North.
Going into it, it's, you know how, I mean, you've seen this a million times. You know how this works. They kind of, they look at how last year ended and then project with Chicago and what they've done with the draft, getting Caleb Williams and, you know, and the wide receiver, Romeo and Dunze. And, you know, is that enough for them to put them at third and say, you know, the I expect us to either be third or fourth going into the season. No question about it. That's just how it is. You know, the way the Packers ended the season, the way Detroit played the entire year, it is going to be a very, very tough division. We got a lot of good quarterbacks. We got a lot of good, you know, young and old. It seems like Green Bay figured out a lot of their defensive woes. I mean, against Tampa Bay, they just got picked apart. But by the time they got to the playoffs, they figured some of that out. I believe they still got a new defensive coordinator there in Green Bay. So, it's going to be a tough division. And we have one of the tougher schedules coming up this year. Looking at the stats and what those guys that look forward and rank the difficulty of schedule, it's not going to be easy. We do lose a home game, so we're not going to have 9 home games. We're going to have one in London. Fortunately, we've played well when we've had to go across the pond. So, you know, by no means is it going to be an easy division, right? It's not. It is going to be a tough one. So you have to kind of temper your expectations, I think, a little bit. But it's going to give Sam Darnold an opportunity to, this is his first opportunity to get with a really, really good team and be the guy kind of in through training camp. And you never know, he might surprise us. And if he does, then he's going to get himself paid by somebody. We have a 1-year deal with him, and with McCarthy sitting in the wings, I think he understands this is his chance. So I think we're going to get the best of what he has to offer as well, and maybe he'll surprise us.
No surprise here. Bears fans are giddy with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze.
Yeah.
You throw in trading for Keenan Allen and DJ Moore is back. DeAndre Swift, though I'm not the world's biggest DeAndre Swift fan. Brian Urlacher told me a few weeks ago he loves him. I just as soon have David Montgomery. But nonetheless, Bears fans are doing cartwheels.
You've got those receivers and you're worried about your running game. Listen to
No kidding. Hey, who cares about the running game? We're the new Bears. Move over Johnny Lujack and Sid Luckman. And, Eric Kramer holds the Bears single season record from 95, and you competed in the division at that time.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
And it's the second oldest team record for single season passing yards in a season with only 3,800. Joe Namath's record with the Jets is older, but Kramer's record is the lowest. There are something like 100 quarterbacks who've thrown for more than 3,900 yards in a season. And that year, Kramer was only fourth in the division. Favre threw for more yards. Yeah. Warren Moon with the Vikings. And Scott Mitchell with the Lions, fourth in the division for a franchise record. Bears.
Yeah. It's been a while. It's been a while for Chicago to have someone, I think, with Caleb Williams, his ability. And you've got to be excited as a Bears fan to take a look at this offense. I think for now the biggest thing is the coordinator situation and what kind of offense are they going to run and how are they going to implement it. You take Eberflus and let him get the most that he can out of the defensive talent that's available. That's something I'd have to sit back and think about it, but you look at what Tony Dungy did in Tampa Bay and he built that defense. He leaves, I believe Monty Kiffin took over, but then John Gruden came in. And all the weapons were on defense, but he's an offensive mind and got the most out of that offense he could possibly get. And I think there are teams out there where you see that happening. And so for Eberflus, I think it's just get as much talent as you can on the offense, do what you can with the defense, and go from there. It does excite me though because the turf might actually be mowed this year. You guys actually might keep the grass short in Chicago and not let it turn into a into a field out there because you guys actually have some speed now, which is fantastic.
Yeah, imagine that. Who saw that coming? Johnny Morris's career receiving record will be threatened in a few years.
Yeah.
God, these records. It's amazing. You spent a little bit of time with Kevin Warren, the Bears president, in year number two now. When he joined the Bears, so many of us, and I was included in this, Pete, erroneously reported he's the perfect guy with the Bears buying all that property in Arlington Heights because he's just been through this with U.S. Bank Stadium, state of the art. I'm told from an NFL insider I consider to be unimpeachable, while a nice guy, Kevin Warren was a figurehead and had very little to do with the almost everything to do with the construction of U.S. Bank. And he kind of is proving that he's in a little bit over his head. The Arlington Heights deal looks kind of like it's a tough putt right now, and they're going to wind up back on the lakefront. What is your take on Kevin Warren? Is he a good leader for this Bears team?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've like I said, I've worked with Kevin. I was coaching here when the Will family took ownership. He's changed this franchise, and he was part of a change of this franchise. I never thought that we would get a new stadium. You guys, you know, I understand. I hear. I still read stuff with Mayor Johnson and we don't fund billionaires and all that whole tired stadium argument that you hear. And I'm not on one side or the other. It just is what it is. I never thought they were going to get it built here. Never did. Just with the prevailing attitudes and Kevin was part of, and oversaw the building of U.S. Bank Stadium, which take a look at it. And I guess on the inside as well, with the people, with the franchise, how this franchise is now, we're always at or near the top on the player survey as the places that, you know, they like to be. We don't make our guys pay for lunch. You know what I mean? Like other franchises do. It's a much more professional atmosphere, and you know, Kevin was the one that brought that to Minnesota, you know, he and the Will family. So I don't expect anything else from Kevin other than to get the Bears into a stadium in a situation that is going to be absolutely fantastic. He's not doing something that's easy. It's not easy to do. You know what I mean? Think about that. You're in the Windy City, which is why it's called the Windy City, right? Not because of the wind, because of the politics. And to change, I mean, the Bears have played at Soldier Field since the beginning, correct? So
71, they moved from Wrigley.
That's right.
They
did play in Wrigley Field back in the day, but they, you know, they've been there for obviously a very, very long time. And it's a tough thing. It's a Herculean task that he has in front of him in a very, very tough spot, the third largest TV market in the country. But Kevin will get it done. Don't worry. I mean, he'll get this done.
We're out of time, but I have to say this. As you mentioned, teams not paying for lunch. I've been interviewing a lot of former Bears for a book I'm going to be publishing this September. Ooh. On my 40 years of covering the Bears.
Nice.
And Tom Waddle reminded me of his days there at the old Hallis Hall, 250 North Washington, as Ditka said, where they would have a big basket of Funyuns. That's what you want your athletes eating on their way out the door. Give them a fully sugared Pepsi and a sack of Funyuns.
Yeah, we didn't. You know, we didn't at our old facility at Winter Park. We didn't even have air conditioning in our locker room because you're up there in the fall and the winter when it's cold. So when we were there for mini camp and everything, and it was hot, you know, they'd wheel it in. They'd have to bring in portable air conditioning and stuff like that. I mean, the like I said, the facilities and those things have changed immensely. You know, I think about going to Mankato and, you know, it just how Spartan things were. And that's kind of the mentality back then, right? You tried to toughen these guys up, bring them together. And that mentality is historic thinking now. It's archaic thinking, I think, in today's day and age with the NFL. And Yeah, those stories are fun though, right? They're, it's just interesting to see, you know, what it really was and what it was like back then, especially like I said with the rookies and nowadays. And hey, that's another good part of your book is just how, you know, how do they treat the rookies back then? How they just abused them, tape them to goalposts and hide all their stuff, and just yeah. You couldn't get you had to be out of the training room an hour before everybody else came in. It was brutal. Can I use that word? But we survived. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? You know, 40 years.
You made it.
Make it. The sun comes up tomorrow. You'll be all right.
Pete, always enjoy your company. Thanks a bunch. Set a hook this weekend. Go catch some fish.
Yeah, I think
Pete Buttigieg, former Vikings linebacker, KFAN Radio. He teams with Paul Allen. They do a great job doing Vikings games. Thanking Sam Michael, my executive producer, for his help today. Adam Delavitt runs the show at Bet Rivers Network. Also thanking Randy Merkin, who handles all of the guests, Troy Mocker, and my guy, Alex Pastor, in social media. I'm Dan McNeil. Have a great remainder of your week. Back soon on the Bet Rivers Pod Network.
Thanks for listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.